This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Hello and welcome along to What Have You Done For Us Lately, the show by Manawatu District Council, talking about matters of council in our wonderful district. I am your host, Ben Caldwell. Happy New Year to you out there. Now, for a while since Shelley left the show and went on to greener pastures, I have been hosting this solo, but I'm very proud to announce that we have a new co-host, a guest who's previously been on the show, Star Wilson Jennings. Hello, Star.
Hi, Ben.
How are you?
I'm really good, and I'm glad it's Friday.
You're glad it's Friday? Is that because it's recording day?
Yeah, right.
Get to get out of the office for a little bit?
Yeah, it's good fun.
Yeah, fantastic. And so what made you think I'd like to come and co-host the show?
I just like being a yes person. It just seemed like a really fun thing to do. Yeah, I was like, why not?
Awesome. Well, welcome on board. Thank you very much for joining me. It feels like less pressure on my shoulders now when it comes to asking questions.
Oh, I'm glad.
All good. And so today's guest is Bridget Simpson. Now, I don't actually know your job title. I know it's people and culture, but you can tell us what it is.
Oh, that's a good start there, Ben. I'm actually now the human resources advisor.
Yeah.
Trying to remember my own title.
See, that's why I couldn't remember, because I knew it was a recent change, wasn't it?
It has been just a recent change.
Yeah.
So, still getting used to that one.
Yeah, fantastic. And so, obviously, a background in HR, but tell us a little bit about your career so far.
Yeah, funny about that. I actually, before I started at council, it was mainly an administration background.
Okay.
Office manager, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. overall general admin. I hadn't done any real HR until I started at council as a HR administrator.
Yep.
It's been quite a while now. It's back in June 2008.
It's not that long ago. It just feels like yesterday.
Yeah, it does to me, which is good. And since then, just learnt on the job. As I've gone through, just learnt more about HR and finally worked my way up from an administrator into an officer role as I got some more skills.
Yeah.
And then into the advisor role.
Awesome. So you've been with council for nearly 15 years, is that right?
Yes, it is, coming up to that. It's scary when you think about it that way.
We were talking this morning about people that have been at council for beyond when council actually started, and I just can't fathom people being here from before 1989.
Yes, we do have a few of our staff that have been around in the 30 plus years there. You wouldn't think it when you see them, but they've had a few changes. Council's changed over time, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's been, there are some long-standing ones, and then we've got some really new staff.
Yeah, like Star over there.
Uh-huh, yeah, Bridget was my HR person when I joined the team as well.
That wasn't that long ago, was it, Star?
No, only a year and a bit.
Yeah, and time's flying by at the moment. It's actually, I think that's the part with most staff is, and myself as well, the years seem to be getting quicker.
Mm.
Everything, so many changes in the world, it's just, and at council,
yeah.
It's just time flies by and you lose track of how many years you've been there.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I was going to ask about is, like, HR generally is kind of seen as like a bit of a dirty term through companies and organisations. So is that why it's called people and culture, or is it just an indication of more work that's done?
I think HR is sort of more of the old terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there are a number of staff and people out there have had a bad experiences with HR in the past.
Yep.
I think it's also the moving with the times. Like, it's gone away from just the employment side of things. They've gone into more the health and safety side of things, well-being, culture. You have a wide range of what you actually do now in HR,
yep.
Which is why we changed to people and culture, and a lot of places have either gone people and culture, people and capability, because of the HR sort of bad rep that we got. Not
yep.
all of us are like that.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't suggesting that you were.
Well, that's nice to hear that, Ben. But yeah, there has been changes over the time, and so we, you know, the roles have changed, what we do has changed, so we it's time for a change of titles.
So what?
Oh no, it seems to be more like a more of a supporting role. So you're more of like a looking after the well-being of people.
Yeah, it is. It's more of the well-being and that side of things, and looking out after throughout both. It's a sort of the role you do now is a bit of work and outside work.
Mm.
So they both mix together at the moment, and you spend a lot of time with people. Sometimes it's not work related that you're dealing with. Sometimes it's outside work, but it impacts on their work. Mm. So you're sort of helping them deal with multiple things.
Mm. Yeah. So when did you notice that change, or when did that change come into MDC, where it was a shift away from that old school approach to more that modern approach to human resources?
I think when I started at council, it's always been a different sort of HR environment and plan of what we wanted to do.
Yep.
It hasn't been the standard, even back when I first started. It's just growing, the team has grown over the years, the 15 years I've been there. It has grown a bit more with the health and safety component. Iwi liaison has come in as well now. Yep. So there is that side there. And I think we've always been, well, the time I've been there, the 15 years, it's always been wanting to do the best for the employees, but also we are trying to do the best for the company as well, the council, because we are employed by council and the ratepayers. So it's trying to get that balance between the two, get the best of the employees that we can, get the best out of them, which then filters back into what the community, helping the community get what they want.
Absolutely. So since you've been with MDC for such a long time, sorry, I realised that might have sounded rude. It wasn't meant to be.
That's all right. I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, it shows longevity, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the best thing about working at MDC?
I think for the best thing and why I've stayed so long is there's such a variety. I think, as I said, we've got a small team. So you are, I'm classed as sort of like a generalist. You're across doing all sorts of things. You're not stuck on one particular topic. So I don't just do recruitment.
Yeah.
I don't just do employment issues. You do a bit of everything. The fact of the staff. If you ask me on certain days, there'd be, you know, staff things happening and what's going on. Some days better than others, just depending on busyness and what you're trying to deal with.
Yep.
But again, I think with both those parts there and, you know, the end goal of trying to help the community, you know, like you're wanting to get the right people. And just if it wasn't enjoyable, I doubt I would have stuck around as long as I have.
Yeah.
That's such a good point, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. If you're not happy in your work environment, then there's no point sticking around because you're miserable. It makes the work environment, people know and pick up on it, whereas I enjoy it and it's a nice challenge. No 2 days are the same. I think that's the good part for me. It's not the same things day in, day out. It's always something different.
Yeah. And as you say, there is quite a variety of jobs and roles at council, so we thought might be a good chance to chat to you about, like, if people listening see a role on our website, our careers website, which is going to get updated, by the way, and they want to put in some applications for positions that are coming up, what's some tips that you can offer them?
I'd always say, like, we don't advertise, when we do our advertising, we don't spell it out. You have to do a cover letter, you have to, you know, do the CV and stuff. But I would always recommend doing a cover letter.
Mm-hmm.
Your cover letter is your best opportunity to actually sell your skills, your experience, what you've got for that role. Also, it means you can put a bit of your personality out there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if you think about it, from our perspective and our manager's perspective, we're just reading a document.
Yeah.
So put a bit of personality in there and try and show us what you like. That way it helps us when we're trying to shortlist. Yeah, that'd be the main, you know, those sides of things. Spelling names right. If there's an advert that's got the person's manager's name in it, please spell it right. It is one thing that can irritate a manager if they go to start to read it and it was in the advert and you spell it wrong. Not a good look to start with.
When it comes to, like, CVs and cover letters, what would you like to see as the main differentiation point? Because I know that some CVs can have, like, a big old essay about themselves, and then you can have the cover letter that'll seem to cover similar information. So what's your main point of differentiation between the two?
With your cover letter, short to the point.
Mm-hmm.
None of the managers I've seen so far like long-winded repeating everything that is in your CV.
Yeah.
And as I said before, just highlighting exactly what you've got that we have said either in our advert or in our job profiles, what you've got that you're going to bring to the role. Mm. If there's stuff in the role that you don't have those skills, don't be afraid to put it in the letter and say, look, I don't have these skills, however, I'm willing to learn to train and learn this, or how you would think you would learn or get the skills required for that.
It shows a bit of honesty.
Yeah, it's showing that you know.
An initiative.
Yeah, and it shows what you know and what you don't know. Mm. Also shows that you're willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But it also shows that you actually understand the job.
Mm. Mm. Absolutely. So one of the things that we were talking about on the way down here was, and this was a question that Star came up with, so you best ask it.
I was just wondering about red flags. So, like, what are some really strange applications you've had, or, like, what are some consistently crazy things that people will put in there for their applications or cover letters?
In there, some of them, there's, like, a lot of people like to put in there that they have attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd say if you put attention to detail...
That's something I have not put in mind because I know how bad I am.
Yep, it's one of those ones. It's a lot of people put it in there because it's a good selling point.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do it, make sure you check your letter and your CV, that the spelling is right, that the grammar is right, that your autocorrect hasn't gone and put American spelling in there.
That's a good one. Yeah. Like favourite in colour.
Yeah. Things like that is just, you know, it might sound simple, but it is one of the ones we get quite a bit, and it does sort of get people a bit when you say you've got an attention to detail, and some of the roles we need that, and then you've got that many mistakes throughout your whole application. Mm. As I said before, you're being upfront about stuff. Make sure you put the right... documents, current, if you're going to, when you do the application online, make sure you put the actual letter and CV and everything you've done for our role, not someone else's job.
Yep.
It's never the best one when you get it. It's addressed to a different business and it's a totally different role to what we're advertising. It really turns people off pretty quick.
I can imagine.
I have done something similar to that, not for this role, obviously, because I got the job. Because we're on the way down here, like, people just trying to get any job, and so firing out applications, and you sometimes forget about which job you've applied for and who the contact person is. Yeah, so it's a challenging market to be in sometimes.
Yes, it is. And, I mean, it's not bad that lots of people are applying for lots of jobs. That's not a problem for us. It would just help that you actually know, if we were to ring you up for an interview, pays not to just, you know, somehow keep track of what you've applied for. Because it's a bit off-putting when I ring you to say, hey, you've been shortlisted for an interview, and I get what job's this for? Who are you? What was it again?
Keep track of that.
Yeah.
Oh, and answer machine messages, you were saying.
Answer machine messages. They're always the fun ones. Just remembering that if you're applying for jobs, whether, you know, quite a few jobs and that, think about when someone rings you up, how you answer your phone, because sometimes that's part of a telling point there. Your messages you leave, the ones that really are, they're entertaining, but they're a bit frustrating, is you ring someone up and it goes, hi, and then you go to start to say who you are and where you're from, and it goes, gotcha, leave a message after the tone. really throws you out as the person making the call and trying to remember what you rang for. It's just good messages and the way just answering the phone, because you never know who's going to be on the other end.
Mm.
And sometimes a lot of our jobs, we're wanting to see how you interact on the phone, because that's going to be how you're going to interact with the public.
Yeah.
So it is that can't always be professional, and we understand that. Different ones of, you know, if you answer the phone, who's that, or what do you want? Not the best way to...
Yeah, just put some manners.
Yeah, some basics.
Basic manners. All right, so we were talking about cover letters before. Can you remember what was in your cover letter? I can't remember mine, but I'd be interested to go back and look and see what was in mine.
My cover letter. Oh, I didn't actually do a cover letter for this job because I got it in a different way than through recruitment. But for previous cover letters, I did try really hard to make it at least semi-personal to the organisation. But I always found it a real struggle. How much are they going to want to read?
Mm.
And how much how much do I want to give? That's not just easy to see in my CV and little bullet points. So, yeah, I tried. Yeah. But I don't know how well I did.
I think that's exactly what you say there, Star, is just your CV has most of the details. Mm. So it's just a few brief bullet points or just brief bits to highlight the skills that we asked for.
Yeah.
And what you're bringing to the role. And I think that, yeah, that's one of the main things in it. The other side is when you actually get rung up for an interview, would be just actually doing a bit of research about making sure you know where we are.
Mm.
You know, it's a bit hard when you ring someone up to organise an interview and they're going, oh, yep, and you're a suburb of Auckland?
Yeah.
No.
We do exist outside of Auckland, thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
What yeah. do you mean? The whole of New Zealand's an Auckland suburb. Yeah.
Depends on who you ask, yeah. So, so an application will come on in from somebody. Is that something that you would read, or is it then passed on to the manager that it's applicable to?
So for us, we have all the applications coming through via our website to our careers site.
Mm-hmm.
They go through usually to the manager, or they'll be set there for the manager and the interview panel. So depending on who they've got on their panel, it could be someone from the people and culture team, myself, or it could be that they have some others from within the organisation. There's usually three on every panel.
Mm.
So they will go through and actually read all the applications and shortlist from there. I do a bit of a random check now and then just to see what's coming through.
Yep.
It's always interesting just to see with the changes in the market and that, how many people are looking and what the content is in their CVs and cover letters.
When reading a cover letter or a CV, or do you sometimes just get like that feeling about that person that, yes, this is somebody that we want as part of the organisation?
Yeah, you can sometimes. Well, at least towards an interview, and that there's a bit of, especially the ones, as I said before, with a bit of personality.
Mm-hmm.
When you get those in there, it's a bit more of a, oh, this one's, it might not have the skills and the bits we're looking for, but there's something in this cover letter that actually makes me want to interview this person and find out a bit more about them, and can we train them up?
Yeah.
So that's that piece where you actually want to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our jobs, we get quite a few applications, so that's why it's wanting to have something in that cover letter to make them stop, think about you, and actually go, actually, I want to have a talk to this person, find out a bit more about them.
And so that kind of moves us neatly on to interviewing. And what are some tips that you can give us about interviews?
Some tips on interviews. Just one would be doing some, you know, having a look about the job again, refreshing yourself about what you're actually applying for.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe doing a bit of research about what the Manawatu District Council does. You know, like councils are quite large beasts. We have a lot of areas we look after. So it is actually, one, knowing where we are is a good point. But also some of the things that we do. You know, that side of things in there. And also just thinking in the back of your mind and being prepared for most of the questions you'll get anywhere, not just with us, but anywhere, is examples. Give us an example of when you had a difficult customer.
Yeah.
Things like that. They're usually example-based questions, not what have you learnt, read, and that side of things. So just being prepared for that sort of thing would be the main part there. Don't feel bad if you've come up with a couple of questions to ask us, because at the end of the day, the interview panels, it's a two-way street. We're representing the council when we're doing the interviews, and it's not just you interviewing us, or us interviewing you, you're interviewing us, I should say. It's a two-way.
One of the questions that I was told to ask before going into interviews, and this years ago, was what does a successful person look in this role? And that was actually really helpful, not just in this job, but in previous jobs, just asking, just because obviously it's kind of laid out in the job description, but then just to hear it put into their words, and it sort of, it goes outside of what's just on that piece of paper. And it gives you some of the personality traits that they're looking for, and some of the skill sets that aren't necessarily on that job description.
Yep, and we've had lately, we're starting to get a few from what's a day in the life of whatever the role is, what would it look like?
Yeah.
You know, what's that? And so that really, it's really good because it actually makes the panel stop and think and actually go, what do we do in that day? And gives them a bit more of a real life, this is what we've been doing recently.
Yeah.
And then it lets people know this is actually what the role is, because as you say, a job profile says one thing.
Mm.
Actually hearing from a person what they actually do can sometimes be totally different.
Yeah.
Interpretations.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, definitely. So are there any particular roles at the moment, this is going up next week, but are there any particular roles at the moment that you're looking for people to apply for, and can you offer some tips for anyone that wants to apply?
Yeah, at the moment we've only got a couple of jobs going at the moment. It's quieting down a bit after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for some customer service officers.
Yep.
So they're the ones that do front of house and phones. So we multi across both sides there. So anyone interested there, you will get trained up. It's something that you have to learn about council.
Mm-hmm.
Senior emergency management advisor. We're looking for one of those at the moment.
Oh, to replace old Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff's gone.
Oh, no.
Need a replacement.
It's just not the same without him.
No, it isn't. So, we're looking for one of those at the moment, which is a pretty specialised area.
Yep.
Which is quite hard to do. And then we've got a senior makerspace officer at the library, which I'm still got to get my head around what that one actually covers. but it's a bit more of the technical.
Well, we're recording in the library. You can chat to them today.
Yeah, exactly. I'll find out a bit more about it.
See, we've killed two birds with one stone with this visit here.
Exactly. I can actually get a bit more. What does this role do?
Yeah.
Because, again, I've just read the job profile, so it's that actually physically seeing it is a bit more interesting for me.
Yeah, definitely. You were quite nervous about coming on today, weren't you?
I was extremely nervous. I did try to get out of it a few times.
You did. You were just like, no, this is not for me. And no, we managed to get in. Have you enjoyed it?
I have enjoyed it, actually. This has been good.
Did you do it again?
Yes, I would.
There we go.
I would do it again, actually. It's more of a,
we don't buy it.
No, you don't buy it, and it's nice and friendly. And I think it's quite nice to actually get out there about what people in culture do and about recruitment and council.
Yeah.
And all those things there. I mean, we normally go out to careers days and try and get high school students and anyone else there that wants to talk to us about jobs.
Mm.
But this was a nice change as well.
And that's one thing that the People and Culture team do as well is sometimes those school visits to council as well.
We do school visits as well. We organise a day in and send students out to go along, work alongside some of our staff just to see what the jobs actually do.
Yep.
To help them decide what they want to study towards.
Mm. It's actually a really good day for kids to see, because it doesn't necessarily mean they'll come and end up working for MDC or in local government, but it just gives them an idea of opportunities out there that could be connected to what we do for jobs.
Particularly more abstract things, there's a lot of jobs that you probably wouldn't even know exist when you're in high school, eh?
Mm.
Yeah. Yep, correct, and it either, and sometimes it works in the favour of they come in, they see it once and go, actually, no, that's not what I thought that job was. I don't want to do that now. But it actually, then others, it's like, it gives them a direction. Actually, I just did this because I had to choose a job to do, and I actually enjoy it.
Mm.
So, you know, it's got that change as well. Gives them a chance.
Yeah, fantastic. Bridget, thank you very much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. And, we look forward to chatting to you again some other time.
Thank you, guys.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.